Let's open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Who said Brother Billy? Yeah, I took up the offering, didn't I? Come on up, Sheila. Put it in here. It's up here. You're asleep and I haven't even preached yet. What's wrong with you, huh? I won't say anything about age or anything like that, but I seen somebody out the other day, and of course, most of you know the other day, I grew a beard after all these years, just a little bit ago, and somebody never seen me with it, and they saw me and said, "You are gray." I said, "Yeah, old, getting old, sure are." Open Bibles, Romans chapter number 8. You know, the sad part about it is sometimes we have things, and I know I got the news of Sister Perham this morning, losing her daughter, and you know, after losing her husband, and of course, having all those special needs children, they went through a battle and some of those things. But and then sometimes we have the tendency to sit and say, "Well, that's just so unfortunate." But the thing that we have to remember is that the Bible says, and I know it's a common verse and easy to quote, but it's much deeper when you're going through the trials and troubles and sufferings. And I know some of you are going through some things very heavy upon your heart right now. But for we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so when you get the gist of that, and that's sort of what we're going to preach on today, but we want to look at the context around it. So if you'll begin reading with me this morning in chapter 8, beginning in verse number 14. Sometime I have people ask me, they said, "Preacher, how can we know that we are saved?" And I've heard a lot of people say a lot of different things, but I think one way that you can know that you're saved is by the witness of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. When a person is saved, you are born again of the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells you. He seals you until the day of redemption. He lives within you. Your body becomes the temple of God. He dwells in you. I don't think that transition can happen unless you know there has been a change in your life. We will look at some things this morning as we get into this. But let's begin reading in verse number 14. And we want to read on down to verse 30. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice this, if you would, in verse number 28, that the Bible says we know, and we can know because of the Word of God. We can know because of personal experiences we have. The Bible tells us that through personal experiences that we can get to know some things about God. Over in the book of Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that tribulation worketh what? The word tribulation there means to be pressed down. And it worketh patience. The word patience means, referring in James, to endurance. In other words, talking about Job. Job endured when he was being pressed down. The Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. And patience what? Experience. Experience means that when you are being pressed down and it's working in you, the tribulations of being pressed down by God, and it works within you an experience. And so therefore, it teaches you to endure as you're being pushed down. And when you get beyond that point, you have an experience that you can fall back on. And the Bible says in experience, hope. And then hope, the Bible says a hope that we don't need to be ashamed of, because sometimes people says, well, you know, just like Sister Linda there that lost her daughter last night. When she wrote to us, she said, I'm not mournful because I know where she's at. She was saved. I have confidence she's in heaven. And she said, I rejoice because I realize, and she quoted this verse. She said, I realize and I know that all things work together. And I know that God is the author and God controls these things. But the reason why she could look at it with that outlook is because I know Sister Linda personally, and she's been through a lot of experiences. And what she's learned through those experiences is to gain hope. Now hope, the Bible says that we need not be ashamed. Some people look at us when we go through and they say, I don't understand how you're doing that. How you're going through that. But you say, well, the Lord got me through the last one. He'll get me through this one here. And he got me through that one there. He'll get me through the next one. And so it gives you hope. And the Bible says, an amazing thing about it in Romans chapter 5, the Bible also says there right after that, that not only does it bring hope that we don't need to be ashamed of, but also, the Bible says that it brings a love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost of God. In other words, the amazing thing is we can go through and you go through the Bible and you find those that was pressed down and God allowed to be pressed down some tribulation in their life, and they had to learn to be patient during it, and they endured through the experience and they went through the experience, and when they got through, the amazing thing was they end up loving God more than they did before they went through it. And the thing that the Holy Ghost of God does with us when we go through these things is he teaches us to love God. Even though we just went through a very trying time, he allows us to love God in an amazing way. Now look back in your Bible just a moment. The Bible teaches us in verse 14, 15, 16 that we ought to have a testimony within our own heart. If we have been saved, in verse number 9, the Bible says, you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. In other words, you can't claim to be saved unless you've got the Spirit of God. How do you know that you're saved? Because you have the Spirit. Now, if you have the Spirit, it ought to show outwardly. In verse 14, you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. In other words, things that's going on in your life as the Holy Spirit leads you, he ought to teach you, and people ought to be able to look at you and tell there is something different about you in the way in which you walk, the way you talk, and the things that you do. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God will make a difference in us outwardly. Verse 15, It will make a difference upwardly. In other words, we will have a hope within us. When we have a problem, three times in the Bible, we find Abba Father. It means that we have a tender relationship with God in which we can come, and when we're going through things, we can cry out unto God. We have a relationship, a personal relationship, that we can come and we can draw next to God and be intimate with God. And we have that. We don't have to fear God, but we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. And so therefore, we not only have the Holy Spirit of God working in us, does not only make a difference outwardly, it also makes a difference in how we react when we are going through a tough time. We should go upwardly to God, and we should have a relationship and be able to call upon Him and come boldly to the throne of grace and be able to understand that He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And not only that, but also, if you look in verse 16, not should we only have a relationship outwardly by the Spirit and upwardly, but also He says that His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have also a witness inwardly. The Bible teaches us that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, that our spirit is made alive, and that that spirit is witnessed by the Holy Ghost. In other words, He speaks, and we now are able to hear that small, still voice of God. You know, sometimes... I have people tell me, I said, "Preacher, I've been hammering on them to get this thing right in their life." Listen, nobody can make progress with somebody any more than the small, still voice of God. And if a person's saved, you can't get away from that small, still voice. His Spirit will witness with us. His Spirit will also create convictions in our life. His Spirit will also guide us and teach us in the things of God, in the Word of God, and we'll be able to understand and see those things. And so all those things come by the Spirit of God. And so He guides us and teaches us that His Word's truth, and that we are part of the family of God, and He lets us know that. Now, look here. Not only will it be inwardly, outwardly, and upwardly that we have a relationship because of Spirit, but in verse 17 also we find that when we have that relationship, that we have, in verse 17 and 18, we have a unique relationship in the family of God where we must suffer some things. There are some things that we suffer that lost people doesn't suffer. Now, there are some things that lost people suffer just like we do. But there are some things unique that is part of our heritage. Now, the amazing thing is we will suffer those things here, but as you see in verse 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." In other words, what he's telling us is that suffering, for those of us who are saved, is part of our heritage. We're going to go through and suffer some things. I'll give you three things right off the bat. That we as a Christian, and Peter says something, if we suffer as a Christian, how do we suffer as a Christian? Number one, when you get saved, it begins a battle within your life that you never experienced before. What happens is your spirit was dead according to trespasses and sin. When you got born again by the Spirit, your spirit is now alive and your flesh is alive. And the Bible says that the flesh will lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, they are contrary to one another. It begins a warfare. Once you become saved, there is a warfare. And what gets caught in between your spirit and your flesh? Your soul. Your thinkings, your affections, your reasoning, all the things that makes up your soul and who you are. And so what happens is when you give in to the Spirit, then you grow spiritually. When you give in to the flesh, you grow carnally. But those of us who are saved, we begin to experience a warfare like we never knew. Some people says, "Well, when we get saved, everything will just be a bed of roses." Oh, no. You will begin to have such warfare within your own self. because your flesh and your spirit, and by the way, some people said, well, I'll be glad when I get a little older and I can handle the temptations of the flesh. How are you, Brother Junior? You care to, how old are you?
72.
You just turned 82, right? Mom, you're 81, and she'll be 82 soon. Has the temptations of the flesh ever left you too? It's not going to. You're going to have that warfare until you die. And it's a warfare that only began when you got saved. It's something that is unique and part of the sufferings. You see, you just can't go out and do everything everybody else does. There's something unique about you. You now have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't sin, but I'm going to tell you something. When you do, you're going to take the Holy Ghost with you. And he's not going to make it pleasant for you. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to have any peace. And everything about your life is going to be messed up. Now, not only that, but also something unique is that when we are suffering, also the fact is that when we become a child of God, part of our heritage is to suffer with him. He says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Christ suffered. And so therefore, Paul, and by the way, Paul spent 20 years suffering. You ought to go over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and read a little bit in verse 23 through 28. Read a little bit about what he suffered. And sometimes we have a bad situation and we think, oh, what's God doing to me? He's being so mean to me. And read Paul. But everything Paul went through, you know what he said about? Oh, these are just light afflictions. You know why? It was a temporary thing. And so therefore, what we need to understand, just being a child of God brings you to a point where there will be things that you will suffer. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. The third thing is this. The world, once you begin to change and your character changes, the world will treat you differently. You will not be accepted in the world like you used to. I was reading a while back when we started that radio mission over there in Uganda, reaching 5 million people every day. I got a letter from Brother Stensis, and he was saying that he was giving a report, and one of the guys that was saved through the radio broadcast had got saved, and later on he'd surrendered to preach, but he was a drunk before that. But he was telling me that he made such a change in his life that he was able, his wife came to know the Lord. And now he's starting a little preaching place over there in one of the cities, in one of the villages, because of the change in his life. Now, if you'll notice here, back in verse 17, 18, notice this. Notice that our suffering is part of the sonship, like I was talking about, but also notice that it's only limited to this life. You know, sometimes people said, oh, you Christians, look what you give up. Can I tell you a little secret? They sung the other night, they sung, what was that song? I can't remember the name. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you, Lord. Is that the name of it? And I said, every time you sing that, you can't help but be thankful. You know what I think about every time I go through a hard time? This is the only hell I'll ever know. Now think about that a minute. And you know God's been pretty good. And this is the only suffering because of Christ that I have to do. He's not asked me to do much. And what I'm trying to get across to you is this. God's been awful good to us. And so what we need to realize is this little short lifespan that we have here, what sufferings we do here is immaterial because it will only be a temporary thing. That's why Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so therefore, I want you to know that the sufferings, whatever it may be, and I know some of you have lost children and some of you have gone through lost husbands and wives and some of you have gone through other battles and some of you are going through sickness right now. But listen, it's only temporary. Thank God one of these days we're going to a place, no more suffering, no more pain, no more parting. And so that brings us into a fellowship with God. And we have to understand that Paul says, listen, it's really insignificant what you go through. It won't amount to nothing. In light of eternity, it won't mean nothing. Now, knows as well and I started to say earlier too, that one of the things that brings about suffering in this life is we become more sensitive to sin because of our status with the Holy Spirit. Now look back if you would. Paul goes on, he talks about in verse 19 and 23, just jumping real quickly, that because of the fall of creation, even all creation groans. We groan. We all won't. And I know you're like me. When I turn on the news and I look at the world and I see what's going on in the country today, it makes me sick. I told them Wednesday night, it's a shame. They think they're going to change history. History's not going to be changed. They might blot it. It's a lot, like a lot of people trying to change the Word of God. You might think you've changed the Word of God, but it's forever settled in heaven. You're not going to change nothing about the Word of God. And so therefore, even though, and I've been in some churches where they say, well, we just don't preach on hell because it's such an unpleasant subject. It's not going to change a bit. And the fact that you ignore it, the fact that you don't preach it, doesn't change anything. And the Bible says that His Word is forever settled in heaven. So therefore, we know that it is. And it cannot fall. It cannot falter. And so therefore, we need to understand that we that are saved, we have a different outlook about this world. We look at it differently. So therefore, there's something inside of us that groans. I don't rejoice when I see all this stuff going on. There's something groans within me. And just tears my soul out. And I'm looking forward to one of these days when I get out of this old place. Amen? Now, not only that, but look on. In verse 24 and 25, he tells us that we have this hope, this ministry of hope. I'm trying to get on down through. And look, if you would, in verse 26 and 27, the Bible also tells us that we're kind of ignorant when we pray. There are sometimes things that we don't know what to ask for. We go start going through things in our life, and all this is pertaining to suffering. And we start going through these things, suffering in our life. Sometimes we're going through a tough time of our life, and we don't know what. And there's times when I've got on my face before God and my heart's just been tore all to pieces and I don't know what to ask. But also the Bible tells us here, if you look back in verse number 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, what we learn is that when we don't know what to ask for, the Spirit that lives within us, it makes intercession for us. And I tell them this sometimes. The very thing that sometimes we find ourselves praying, asking God to not let us go through, the Holy Spirit of God is saying, they need to go through this. And somebody said, well, why? Why do we suffer? Why do we go through there? Well, look on back, if you would, in verse 28. Let's touch it real quickly. Notice here that the Bible says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good, them love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And knows that we have a fact, because the Bible states that we know that. We can know that it works together. And notice that it's working all together. All things. How incomparable. It brings all things in, and it makes all things harmony. I tell people this, and by the way, It's the good things. It's the suffering and sorrowful things. It's the satanic things. It's the sinful things. The amazing thing about God is this. Not only does He save your soul with such a salvation that you are eternally secured in salvation, not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is that saves your soul. And see, when you got saved, you got sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. And by the way, if you're sitting here wondering about losing your salvation, let me just ask you a real question. Jesus gave a parable one time, and He said that for a man to come into another man's house, he's got to be stronger. He's got to overthrow that man. And once a person's born again in the Holy Ghost of God, which is God, is in your body, your body is a temple of God. Exactly who is strong enough to go in there and kick God out? That's what I want. The problem that you have, if you have trouble with your salvation and question about your salvation, is this. You're looking at yourself and you're not looking at Jesus. You see, Jesus is the reason why we have eternal security, not because of ourselves. His righteousness is imputed to us. Our sin was cast upon him. And so therefore, when we stand before God, we are justified in his sight, not because of who we are, but because of his blood. And so therefore, to be justified in God, we have salvation. And so what we need to understand is that God, in his marvelous workings, what he does is he takes everything in our life. And by the way, let me say this real quickly before I close. God has a will for you in your life. God, there's things that's God's will. And then there's things that is your will. And sometimes your will competes against God's will. The devil has a will. Somebody asked me one time, I said, why should we pray? God knows everything. Because God commands us to. And what we do is we put God in a position of being God when we pray to him. And what we need to understand is this. He wants us to do his will. But what he does is when we mess up and we go about our will, or we were led by Satan to do things and whatever it is, he's able to take you as a Christian, Brother Bobby, and he's able to take all those things, all things in your life, and make them work for your good. Now that's amazing God. I mean, he can take the good things, the sorrowful things, the sinful things. He can take it all, and he can make something good out of it. And those of us, somebody said, well, preacher, why does he chasten us? Well, that's where we're getting to. In verse number 29-30, and I know there's some big words, and there's a lot of teachings and doctrines come on all them words, but let me just say this real simple. God has one purpose once you get saved. From the moment you get saved, he begins a process of getting you more like Jesus. And it will not be completed until we get our glorified body. He wants us conformed to the image of his Son. Now let me say this. Now, I want you to get this real carefully. He doesn't save you to make you happy all the time. Nor does he save you to make you rich. He doesn't save you to make everything work out just the way you want it. He saves you and he begins to take everything in your life, good, bad, and ugly, and make it work for your good to conform you to the image of his Son. And to be conformed to the image of his Son, there is one place that he's got to keep grinding on. Our old pride, he's got to humble us. You see, what you need to understand about God is this. God, you never get God in pride. You never reach God in pride. Only through grace. The Bible says, for God giveth grace to the what? And he resisteth to what? That's why if you're going to get saved, you got to get down here. You don't ever get down here, you'll never get the grace of God. If you want to get through something and that you're a trial and trouble in your life, you got to get off your high horse and God resists your pride. You think, well, through my strength, I'll get through it. You got to get down where you call upon God. And when you call and you recognize God as God, what happens is this. You find the grace of God. And when you find the grace of God, his grace is sufficient to get you through whatever else you need to go through. And so this morning, I want you to understand. God has a cause for these things that happens in our life. It's to help conform us. But when we get to heaven, we're going to have nothing but praise to God. Because all this little suffering that we did here in this present life is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When we recognize being a child of God and we see the things that we are heirs to, what we will rejoice when we see Jesus in his proper place. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let me ask you this question. Now listen to me very carefully. You say, preacher, boy, I really like verse number 28. I like to know that, but can I say it's only for limited people? Only for those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. You see, it's not for everybody. You say, well, preacher, I've had lost people tell me this. I say, yeah, I know. All things work together for me, good for me. That's not true. Only if you love the Lord. And can I say something else? Sometimes we are saved and we get pretty carnal in our lives. And there's some things that will come in our life there. The chasing of the Lord. They will not be pleasant. It's even, I tell you something about going through a storm. It's one thing to go through a storm, but it's a whole different thing when you go through a storm. You know it's a self-inflicted storm. And one time I had something happen in my life and it broke my heart and I got so angry until God stuck a mirror up and He said, listen, remember when you read that scripture years and years ago, you reap what you sow? Well, you're reaping what you sow. And then I quit looking at everybody else that was involved in that issue and I got looking at myself. And it got me down on my face. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. Wouldn't you like to go through life understanding that God's got you in the palm of His hands? And everything that happens in your life, He's going to bring it about to help conform you to the image of His Son. That one of these days, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. And maybe you need to come this morning, accept Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here and you are saved. And God has been dealing your heart. Maybe you're going through trial and trouble, whatever it may be. And you need to come. Let God have His way as we sing, Brother Porter. How about this?